So today I'm going to talk about healing. I'm going to talk about what? Healing. And it pains you to listen. Some people come to church, they don't listen. They don't listen. They just come sit down. You know, they're in church. I've always said it, if you're not listening, you're cheating yourself. Because this is the word that God is sending us. And if a Christian doesn't have time for the word of God, question is, whose word do you have time for? Whose word do you have time for? So you must listen. Jesus said to the Jews, he said, make effort to understand. So you must make effort. It's important that you make effort to understand what we are saying. We want to say that healing is provided for us in Christ Jesus, just as all the blessings of God have been provided for us in Christ Jesus. There are some things that challenge us and why we struggle with the blessings of God, and then those things kind of hinder us, prevent us, and the enemy plays on our mind with them all the time. Plays on our mind with them. For instance, is it God's will to heal always? Is it really God's will to heal always? You know, sometimes when we pray, we wonder whether God has what? Answered. Because we're not sure. We're not sure. We don't have a strong understanding of the basis on which we expect that this prayer has to be answered. And the enemy comes and plays on that area of the uncertainty in our minds, because we're not rooted and grounded in the truth that establishes you to know that this answer is for sure. So sometimes we are wondering, is really healing the will of God? Of course, healing is the will of God. It's just like rephrasing it and saying, is it the will of God that all should be saved? Because we know it's the will of God that all should be what? Saved. If it's the will of God that all should be saved, then we should be also saved from sickness, from all of our afflictions. And then there was an incident in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, where something happened that proved to us that the will of God is to heal. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, if thou wilt, if thou what? Wilt. Which means if you will, if it is your will, if it is your what? Will. You can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, what? Come on. Saying what? Which means it is what? It's my will. Be that clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So this man was saying to Jesus, I'm not sure if it is your will, but if it is your will, make me what? Clean. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and said, it is my will. And he remembered that at that time, to touch a leper was not allowed by the law. Lepers were supposed to be outside the city, not inside the city, and certainly not near a rabbi. But that same Lord Jesus was teaching that he came to touch us in our leprosy of sin. This is will to touch us in our leprosy of iniquity. So, is it the will of God? Jesus says, sure. If it's his will to heal that leper, then it's his will to heal any other person, because God is no respecter of people. You don't have to allow the devil to come and put doubt in your mind whether it's God's will to heal. Jesus said in Hebrew 10, he said, lo, I came in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So, he said, I came to do thy will, O God. And the Bible says, he bore our sins and our infirmities. So it's the will of God is to bear my sins. Then the will of God is for me to enjoy healing. If that was his will that Jesus said I came to do, and he did it by his stripes, we were what? So then that's his will. So you don't have to doubt whether it's the will of God. If you can overcome this area, you're on your way to enjoying healing. Because this is where the enemy goes and tags on, and tries to, you know, after some time says, maybe it's not the will of God to heal you. You know, God is trying to teach you a lesson. I ask us, how many of you will teach your son a lesson by making him sick? How many of you? How we ascribe God such wisdom? wickedness. I don't know what God decided. God says, you people are evil. You know how to do this to your children. You give them good things. You give them good things. How do you think I will not give you good things? I'm a father too. How can anybody ascribe to God this kind of wicked heart? I mean, even in the hidden world, it's called an abuse. They will put you in jail if you make your son sick. Even abandoning your child in the car, they come get you. Even in the hidden world, people who don't know God, they know you can't do this to your child. But we think that God will do it to us. Wow. Let me say it one more time. It's the will of God to heal you. 24/7. Just as any of you here, if your child is sick, you are rushing your child to where? Hospital. Because you want your child well. You want your child well. You want your child well. Can you tell your neighbor that God wants you well? Can you please be louder? Come on. God wants you well. I mean, if you are good enough to rush your child to hospital because you want your child to be healed, then God is better than you and wants you also what? Be well. Because you are his child. Another thing that we have issues with is this thorn in the flesh. I hear people say, you know, my sickness or my problem in life is a thorn in the flesh that God what gave me to make me humble. Really? Well, if God wants to make you humble by giving you sickness, why are you going to hospital? Stay home. Until you become humble, even in the grave. Stay home. I mean, God wants to make you humble by making you sick, and you are going to hospital. So what you are saying, God, I will fight you. No, no, no. If you want to be obedient, stay what? Humble. And be sick so that finally you'll be very humbled. That's simple as that. Say your problem is God making you humble. If your problem is God making you humble, enjoy yourself. Don't pray about it. Don't even seek to come out of it. Because God wants to make you humble. You say you are another Job. Thank you. If you are another Job, enjoy yourself. When you go to heaven, look for Job. I don't think that Jesus died to make us another Job. So let's read this thing. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, he called it this thing. For this thing, he didn't say sickness. For this thing, I besought the Lord how many times? Twice, that it might depart from me. Now let's even stop here and examine this for God's sake. Now, since you say you are poor, that God is also giving you a thorn in the flesh, how much revelation has God given you that will make you proud? You don't even understand salvation. You haven't understood salvation yet. And yet you are talking of God making you proud because of abundance of what? Where is your revelation? You haven't understood class one, salvation. And you think God will come to make you to say, man, you are going to be proud because of this. The only revelation you have is your name. What's your name? You call your name. That's all I know you know. So what abundance of revelation have you received that God will say, man, this will make this man proud. Let me allow him to be seen. You know, let me tell people the truth. I am so shocked. I am shocked at the ignorance that Christians have. I am totally shocked. Even salvation. Me. And I'm talking about people who are leaders. I get taken aback. And some of the problem is what is coming out of the pulpits. some pastors don't even understand Sabbath. So if Paul says, through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, where is your own abundance of revelation? That's what I'm asking. So if you don't have abundance of revelation, maybe you don't have anything given to you. If you understand me, say amen. And then what Paul was talking about wasn't even sickness. He said this thing. I talked to God about this thing. You know, he called it differently. He called it my bond. He called it my bond in the gospel. He called it afflictions that I suffered. Even the Holy Spirit referred to it. Even the Holy Spirit referred to it. Look at what Paul said there. Acts 26:28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, we are both almost and altogether such as what I am, except this bonds I carry. Said, except this bonds I carry. I have bonds, man. And then when writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:9, you will see why he's explaining this bond, what it means. Wherein I suffer what? Trouble. As an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Philippians 1:16. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add what? Come on, to add what? Affliction to my bonds. And then the Spirit of God was talking about this. The thing that the devil did to people preaching. And the affliction he brought on them to stop them, to discourage them. In Hebrews 11:36. He said, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and what? If the Spirit of God calls it cruel what? Mockings, scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. Was Paul stoned? Huh? Stoned. Several times this man saw people. I mean, he saw it. And as a human being, if he should, wouldn't you go to God and say, Lord, can you take this thing away? Was he not a human being? Everywhere he went to preach, the Jews would go there and afflict him. Sometimes they would have to carry him in a basket over the wall. He enumerated this thing, how many times they flogged him, 39 times with this whip that has something like razor blade. He said 39 times, they gave me 39 lashes. That thing, they whip you and throw it and blood will come. So is it not normal for him to go to God and say, Lord, can you take this thing away from me? It is Satan. It wasn't God. Let me tell us. Look, even if you don't know anything, don't ever talk to people that God and Satan are working together. Because the Bible says, where is the what? Between light and day. You say, where is the agreement? God and Satan don't work together. God and Satan don't work together. Just like water and oil do not what? Mix. In fact, the Spirit of God says, where is this, this light, this is darkness? Where is this coming together? Where is this thing? No, it doesn't happen. Praise the Lord. So let's just leave it alone. So if you think God has given you a thorn in the flesh, enjoy yourself and have fun. And let's see how far that thorn will turn you. But I'm telling you today that is not for you. Paul said, okay, these bonds I have, and I don't want any other person to what? Have it. So don't have it now. Even if you're sickness, don't what? Have it. The man said, I don't want anybody else to have it. So why must you go and have it? Are you his senior brother? He said, I don't want anybody else to have this thing. Because he knows the suffering is important. Are we clear on this? If you understood, say amen. Don't you ever let the devil deceive you. I was telling them yesterday or today that the Bible told us that the devil has wiles, which is methods. And the Bible told us his methods. One of them is blinding. And let me teach you this one. Don't you ever argue with them. They could be under blindness. Arguing with people is a waste of your time. The Bible says we shouldn't argue. Arguing with people, arguing with somebody. Somebody sitting here. I'm telling you, sitting here. How can he see? The only time he will see is when this thing what? Didn't you read the scripture? That if the scripture is hid from people, it is hidden to those whose the God of this world has what? You sit up there arguing with somebody who is seeing nothing. That argument will bring quarrel. And you're wasting the time. The best thing you can do is to go into your closet and say, Lord, open what? That's all. That's it. He's a Christian, but he's blinded. Don't see what? I could sit up and argue against grace many years back. Man, and for you to know that it was really not God talking, I'll get angry. Until God opened my eyes. Pam, 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 pam. I'm like, wow. If you can learn this, it will help you to be at peace with all men. Paul said, all men have not faith. You can't force it because they don't have the word in them. That's why all men do not have what? Leave it alone. Just state the truth. Go your way. It's only the Spirit of God that opens the eyes of people so that at least you can get along and love one another, which is more important. Amen? I said amen. So under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant of the Law, the first, again, some of the issues we have is that we don't know the difference between the Old Covenant and what? And they're not the same. They're not the same. I see Christians quote scripture that refers to Old Testament. They're always dealing with Old Testament. That Old Testament has come to heart. God has put it away. It's not for you. It's not for me. The Old Testament has ceased to operate. Case closed. The Bible says God put it away, finding fault with it. It's not perfect for you. And it's not perfect for anybody. Because it's based on the law. It's not based on what God is doing. It's based on what you are doing. And Christians still don't understand that. And they want to pop up the law. Pop up the law as if to say they can handle the law. The reason is we are ignorant of the power of sin. If you understand that the scripture calls sin a mystery. Did you know that sin overcame Satan, who was an angel? Right? And overcame the first man, who was sin. The only person sin could not overcome was Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity. You have not faced rape temptation. That's why you are still bragging. If you face rape temptation, you know that without Christ, you can do. I'm telling you. I'm not kidding you. So the first covenant, under the first covenant, God provided healing for those who are oppressing it. And he based it on their fulfillment what? Of the law, because that's what the first covenant was based on, that covenant of the law. In Exodus 15:26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and we do, it's you doing to qualify, you will do that which is written in his, which is right, what? Inside, and will give ear to his what? Commandments, and keep. How many? All. That's why this is not good for you. You can't keep all. Keep all. Church, I'm telling you the truth. Keep all. When you have to keep all, not half, not, well, I'm not bad enough. No, 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 no. It's all. There's nothing like, God, you know, I've tried. After, I'm not as bad as my neighbor. No. It's what? All is 100%. Which means you don't fail in one. Let this thing sink into us. And so he said, when you do that now, I will put none of these diseases, what? Upon thee, which I have brought for the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healed. Even without you breaking the law, you were born a sin already. The Bible says, in sin my mother conceived me. I was born in iniquity. How about that? For qualifying on this one. We came into the world disqualified. Because in sin we were born. For that which is flesh is what? And flesh profited. In sin we were born. What came here disqualified already? Can anybody want to qualify when you're really disqualified? Then under the Abrahamic covenant of circumcision, where there was no law anyway, God didn't give Abraham any law. Am I correct? Come on, am I correct? Yes. Moses wasn't even born. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person, what? Among their tribe. Do you know why? Do you know why? It's the blood. It's the blood. God said, and put the blood, what? When the angel of death comes, when I see the blood, that covenant of blood kept them. That sacrifice of animal. There was none feeble, which means no arthritis, no weakness, none feeble. Can I hear amen? There was none what? Feeble. One time the Lord said to me, "Say, why do you people claim to be like that?" I said, "Yeah, but, the outer man perishes." He said, "Okay, let your own perish." He said that I said to Israel, "Didn't you hear my word? There was none what? Regardless of their age. Regardless of what? Their age." He said, "Didn't you read the Bible? That people at 80 went to war." He said, "Didn't you read Abraham after 100 years married another woman and had 7 more children?" He said, "Didn't you read it?" He said, "Do you know how powerful my power is?" Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. My mentor understood these things. And the day he died, he ate breakfast and told the wife, he said, after eating breakfast, he sat down, he called the wife, "I'm going home." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm going home now." Close his eyes, and then, that's how he died. Because he was teaching people that Christians quit when they are satisfied. Because he said, with long life, I will what? He said, "When you are satisfied, you go." Can I hear amen? Yeah. Are you satisfied yet? No! How can you be satisfied? We just bought a property. Why? You are staying here, my friend. You are paying for it. Say something. If you want to go, I will refuse. You are staying here. Tap your neighbor and say, "I'm going nowhere." Come on, say it again, "I'm going nowhere." You know, this was the scripture that I stood on when every day I would have this dream. I've told you this before. They would put me in a coffin and I'll see myself in the grave. And they would say, "See, kill you." I mean, unless I didn't close my eye, I would see that. And every time I would sit and wake up, I would laugh. I didn't even pray about it. Not what praying about. All I told him, I said, "Devil, you don't read the Bible. The Bible says with long life you what?" I said, "I'm not satisfied yet, so I'm going nowhere." You can't break that word. That word is a word of covenant. You can't break it. It is settled what? In heaven. not satisfied and willing. 7 days. Every day, unless I didn't close my eye, I would see myself in coffin. They would close it, put it in the grave, and I hear them say, "See, we killed him." And I wake up again, I bring my own sword, shoot. It is written, with long life, I'm satisfied. And I said, "I will laugh at your ignorance." Then I just make myself laugh. I think after 7 days, they realized they were not getting at my attention and stopped. Now, ladies and gentlemen, where am I? Many years have come. Don't even have pain, headache. You know, if I went that time, I said, "Oh my God, they killed me." It will happen. It will happen. So he uses all this deceit, all these lies, and uses accusation. Oh boy, does he use accusation? He will accuse you. And if he's not accusing you, he's accusing your husband or your wife. Accusing somebody, wanting you to just have resentment. That's the way he will make you resent somebody. Now he will tell you the person gave to see what he's doing and give you reason why he's doing it, and foolishly you agree as if you're a mind reader. Somebody came to me and said, "This person did this, this, this," and this is why. I said, "Did you read his mind?" He said, "No." I said, why telling lies? That's the accuser of the brethren. Praise the Lord. This is accusation. The hindrance. Outright hindrance. He will use your ignorance to hinder you. He will use other people to hinder you. They'll come and tell you things that throw you off where God is. He will use anything he can use to throw you off. Especially wrong doctrine. Wrong doctrine is a very powerful thing. Dangerous. Don't talk with things like that. So, under this covenant, none was feeble. Why was that? Psalm 105, verse 42. Psalm 105, verse what? For he remembered what? His holy promise and Abraham. It's because of the covenant he had with Abraham. So, but under this new covenant that we have, what shall we call this new covenant? What do you think it is? The other one is covenant of law, this one covenant of circumcision. So what is this covenant? Covenant of grace. Based on what God did in Christ and not based on what you do. Any day you switch it, you are out of grace. Totally out of grace. This covenant works only based on the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus, which means in the covenant of the law, he said, you will do. You're going to do it. But in the covenant of grace, he said, I am doing it. Emmanuel. God is here to do the things that are not possible with men. Is what? So I came to do. I've come to do it myself. I am the champion of your battle. I have come. Can I hear amen? And he says, this covenant I give you, I'm not going to break it. Just in case you think God will break his name. God does not divorce his people because he hates divorce. God hates divorce, so he's not going to do it. Some 89, verse 34. Psalm 89, verse what? My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. That's it. If God offers you anything based on this covenant of grace, he says, I will not break it, I will not alter it, it is yours. And then Paul said that the gifts and calling of God is without what? Repentance. So based on this, everything that God has offered us in this covenant, he's not taking it back. He's not taking it back. Can I hear amen, church? And these are the things that we should not. The gospel is a sacred message that you don't remove or add. That is the word of this prophecy that the Holy Spirit was talking about in Revelation. See this word of this prophecy. This word of this prophecy. The core thing in that word of this gospel prophecy is Christ. Is the truth about Christ, which is found in Jesus Christ. That's the core word of this prophecy that the prophets wrote about. So we have found him, the prophets wrote about. Him that Moses and the prophets wrote about. We have found him. And the Holy Spirit said, this word of prophecy that the prophets and Moses wrote about, you must not add, must not remove. If you remove, I remove your name from what? Because you are denying Christ. You are taking yourself out of that thing. That's why you remove your name. You can't alter it. The basis of your salvation must be Christ. If you alter it, you are out. Period. If you alter it, if you add to it, if you want to improve on it, he says, I will take your name out. The only basis your name is there is what he did on the cross for you. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved.
For by grace are you saved.
And saved includes saved to the uttermost, including healing, sin, Satan, all things. Everything that binds this man, everything in any saved to the uttermost, it's by grace, not by his works. It's by what? Grace. Church, it's by what? Any day he thinks it is by his works, that thing ceases to offer. And that's why many people are not getting anything, because they won't listen. They won't listen. The Holy Spirit says, it is by grace you are saved. If God heals you, it's salvation from sickness, saved from Satan, saved from sin, saved from damnation. Saved. By grace, G-R-A-C-E. What is it? Grace. If this man turns any day and says to God, and now listen, God, I'm saved not by grace, but by what I have. This is a list, God, of what I have what? Done. Yep. So I'm saved by this, and let me borrow your wife to be Jesus. I'm sure you're happy. Your wife is Jesus. This is the person that did everything on the cross to provide him salvation. And here he's thinking he's now very good. Maybe because he's now a head usher somewhere, or senior pastor, or he says, God, my list. Because of list. Okay, at the best, it is this list and her joined together. And God says, no. No, sir. Because it violates the scripture. If it is this and this, it's no more grace. Am I right? So the scripture says, it is by what? Not grace and your works. Get it. Get this thing and reap it. When you reap this thing, the thing begins to flow. Your hand is on it. I put my hands in your hands. Oh Lord, I put my. And when you put it there, the mercy and the grace of God in abundance. And it's that grace that will make you, when you go out and see a woman, you turn the other way. Because you are what you are by the grace of God. If you don't have that grace, when you are walking by the law, if you see Agnes, yourself. Because that power that is pulling you is greater than anything you can. If you understand what we're talking about, the only power that can handle him is coming from him. Huh? Because the Lord is the strength of your life. Therefore, of whom shall I fear? But when he ceases to be that strength, you are in trouble. You can resist some things, but they up the game for you. I'm not kidding you. They up the game for you. You won't even know when you remove your coat. I'll be following them. Hey, babe, what's happening, babe? Why? For by strength shall no man prevail. All the grace God Jesus brought you, says, freely take it. Say, why should I take it? For God so loved. That's the reason. But you become religious, you think you have become holy now, because you think, I've not committed adultery since 10 years. Pastor, you know how holy I am. And yet this person talking bitterness, resentment, lying, all those lying, all those self-importance. He doesn't even think he's sin. He's thinking. Even that boasting on yourself stinks to high heavens. Because you're not glorifying Jesus. You are doing what? You are lifting yourself. And whatever goes up, I am telling you, church, I lie not, you will commit adultery pretty soon. Because you are boasting on yourself. You will commit, you either must obey. You are going to do it. I'm not telling you a lie. You are going to happen. Why? God says, if you lift up yourself, I will what? Bring it up. All that you're boasting will burst like that. Nobody will know. Nobody will know. But you know you have. Because you were that pillar that holds. You cut off the pillar and build your own ancestors. Build your pillar. Wonderful pillar. Go ahead and build it some more. You know you're such a good Christian, yeah? And then you know you don't commit adultery. Yeah. Okay, tell him how good you are. Then you are conversing. You want him to know. Say, bros, if you know, I don't even look at women. So see, I don't talk to them. I pray 7 hours. That even this morning I was praying and I saw the Holy Spirit. Talking to me, was wearing white, 12 was white. You are the pillar that holds my life. Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds my life. Master Jesus, you are the pillar that holds my life. Have you seen a house with that pillar? That's what he's doing now. He's cutting the pillar off. What would that house do? Truck. And as long as it's joined, there'll be flow of sap, life, power flowing. Because you are one spirit. Your faith is the linking thing. You are trusting him. It's what? Links you. You trust in him. Going out. And when you want to talk to him, you don't talk about you. Talk about you. You say, you know what the Lord is doing? He's keeping me. He has kept me. I give him what? All that glory. Thank you. Did you get what I'm saying? So, Mark, your wife is Christ. I don't know what. Galatians 5:4. Christ has become of no what? Effect unto you. Can you imagine living a life where Jesus has no effect in you? You have no benefit, have no nothing. And it's written to Christians, of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, justified by the law. You are falling from grace. You fall off from grace. You're not participating in the grace of God. You're not there. No, you're not there. And then in Romans 11:6, it says, and if by grace, in Romans 11:6, And if by grace, then it is no more of us. So you can't be, you can't say, I'm going to be healed by grace and by my good works. You say, no. If by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace ceases to be grace. But if by works, then it is no more what? Grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So you can't mix them. Saved by grace alone. Healed by grace alone. Healed by what Jesus did. If Jesus didn't go to the cross, where will you be getting your healing from? By your goodness? Where will you be getting your salvation from? By your goodness? Is it not obvious to us that if you didn't go to the cross, we are all made most what? Miserable. That made all the difference. I'm shocked that Christians don't understand this. Very shocked. That's what we do. That's why people do all these 100 days try fasting for the day. But they think their works. Their works. And God in His mercy, in His mercy, will come in our foolishness as they bless us. Until we learn the truth and enter His rest. Can I hear amen? Because it is finished. It is provided. It's a feast of blessing. You go and take. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. They are not under God's blessing. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not, that continueth not, that continueth what? Not. In all things which are written in the book of the law. To do them. Have you seen anybody who continued in all of them? So if you want that route to be your route, you say you are under a curse. Because you can't reach the blessings of God. Because that route, you can't complete it. Okay, you are so good, you did 90%. God said you must complete what? Who is? That's why Paul was writing to the Corinthians and said, have you lost your mind? You want to take this route? You want to jettison this route and follow the law? He said, did anybody put a hex on you? He said, it's only people who are crazy who do what you're doing. Acts 8:20-22. But Peter said unto him, Acts 8:20, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be what? Purchased with thee. Now in this place you can remove money and say, purchased by myself, by whatever I do. You say you think it's true. So your money perish with thee. And Peter said some pretty strong things there. He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Exactly what the book of Galatians said. So you are falling from grace. You have no part in this thing at all. In all this thing that grace provided, you have no part in it. And our Lord Jesus spoke on this. You remember two men that went to the temple to pray? One came with the least of his goodness. One came with nothing except grace. And the Lord said, it is the one that came depending on grace that God did. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hebrews 9:12. And with his own blood. Somebody shout hallelujah. And with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place. How many times? Once for all time, and secured our redemption forever. Brethren, that's why he paid. He took his blood to the altar of God in heaven. Jesus is the sacrifice himself, and he's the high priest. He's the only one who is two things in one. He is the sacrifice that went on the cross. He rose up and became the high priest and went himself, took the sacrifice, who is himself, as our high priest. Because no angel, nobody could go to do this thing. The Bible said they looked at heaven, nobody was worthy to open that seal except him. He's the only one worthy to be the high priest. He brought it to the altar before God Almighty. And brethren, when he got there, heaven says, amen. This is sanctified, this is accepted. And then God says, now mankind can be redeemed. He's paid the price for our redemption. Redemption is from everything that afflicts us. Amen? Then Hebrews 10:19. Hebrews 10:19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus. Because of what? I want to hear you say it louder. Because of what? I didn't hear you. Because of what? No, 100 days dry. 40 days dry. Okay, 200 days dry. Okay, sir. You know, because I'm so good. So when I come to you, I say, Lord, I'm entering here. Look at how good I am. And God is saying, who are you? Who, what? I will share my glory with what to be? Get out of here. The only reason you find this scripture, the only reason the Holy Spirit gave us, for which we can come boldly before God, is because of the blood of the eternal covenant. Because of the blood. Because of what? Can I hear it again? No. Somebody said the blood. Others say because of the blood. What I said is because of the blood. Can I hear it again? You know why I'm repeating this? Because this is where the devil waits for the Christian. You go to pray. He takes your mind off the blood and wants you to think of yourself, think of this, and you'll find fault. Your confidence will go to the wind. But the Bible says to us that we must hold firm to the confidence what we have. Praise the Lord. Verse 20, Hebrews 10:20. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way. Through the, what is that curtain? What is the curtain? What is the curtain? The Bible says the curtain through his body. But it is through his body that sin, the curtain of sin, because he said it is your sin that has stood between me and you. It is through that his body that is sacrificed that the sin of mankind was what? Taken away. So that we can now come. That curtain in the temple represents the curtain of sin of mankind. It was symbolic that sin will not let you come to the presence of God. If you come, you die. But when Jesus died, that curtain was what? Ripped into two, showing now that the blood has been shed. Man can come before God boldly now, who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you understand that, say amen. So, since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. So, brethren, if Jesus bought if Jesus paid for our freedom, is it not to be implied that he paid for our freedom from sickness? I don't want to give you the other scriptures you are familiar with. By his stripes, we're here. Amen? The other thing that I want to deal with before I talk about how to assess distance is walking by sight instead of walking by faith we hinder. You see, because all these things we are talking about are spiritual realities. They are in the realm we don't see. We struggle with it. You need to train yourself to stop walking by sight. It's a struggle, but you've got to win it. You must train yourself to stop walking by what? By sight. Because these things are spiritual realities that happen in the realm we do not see. It becomes a struggle. Is it real? Was I really healed? If I was healed, why am I not seeing it yet? Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3. Can we read it together, please? Faith what? Helps us understand. What do we understand? That God created the whole world by his command. This means that the things we see, stop there first. The things what? The healing I see. The answer to my prayer I see. the things we see. We are made by something that cannot be seen. Which means before I see it, it has already been made. So if it was made, it means I don't have to look for it to see it. I have to believe it has been made. For faith is a substance. Am I right? If it's a substance, then it exists. If God says, I've given you healing, then the healing exists. For the things we see are made by something we cannot see. Which means it exists. And if it exists, what do I do? You take it. Oh, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. It exists. I want you to tell your neighbor the thing exists. Now, look at me here. Now you talk to me and say, Pastor, it exists for me. Come on, say it louder. Come on. Come on, convince me louder. Come on, say it more louder. It exists. That's the same way you look at Satan and say, Satan, that thing exists. If God said it's there, it is what? And Satan said, but you can't say, yeah, the things that we see, faith was made by the things we don't see. It's there. It's there. It's what? It's what? Come on, it's what? Come on, it's what? Come on, it's what? That's the battle. That's the battle. It's got to be trusted. Is it there? Or is it not there? Of course it's there. Of course it's there. Say, how do you know it's there? The Bible says so. I used to have pain. I'm telling you, I have a lot of stuff. Pain. This pain. When I'm bathing, to lift this was wahala. I'm not kidding you. And then the pain will come. I'll go to the bathroom and I'll say the things we see are made by the things we see. This ceiling has been made. This hand will be healed. I will lift it. If it will be so painful to put it back there, I will scrub it the much I can. Say this thing is real. It's there. It's been made. This flesh, you must respond. You've got to respond. One month. If I lie down, when I started that, when I now lie down, the thing will say, who are you talking to? The whole pain will come, pam, and won't let me lie this side. And I'll turn to this side, and the Lord will say, no, you turn the other side. Come on, turn the other side. Go ahead and turn the other side. I will turn on that painful one. I will turn and say, I will sleep like it is nothing there. It will be difficult, but finally I will sleep. And gradually, look at it now, gradually, but the things that I'm seeing now was made by the thing, it was made before I see it. Jesus said, blessed is he that believes before sees, because it has been made. The healing has been made. The healing has been made. Come on. 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 The healing has been made. It's been made. You know, I go to work. I won't tell you where I work. I don't want you to come there. So I go to work. I try to do some miles every morning. And this day I came walking. Because sometimes I walk and sometimes I jog. And then something said to me, say, you need to really begin to slow down. You know, your heart may not take all this. I said, who are you? Where did you come from? I'm not talking about that. I said, the strength of my heart is the Lord. The Lord is not weak. Neither is my heart what? I took off jogging. I started jogging. I said, you are the liar, the force of the strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. The life in my heart. life in this body is the life that comes from the Lord Jesus. I said, in fact, as a matter of fact, I have the heart of a kid. I said, we're not feeling. This heart is what? It's nothing. And then the thing what? I didn't hear the voice again. And when I finished my run, I said to myself, wow, that was a serious demonic attack. Because if I accepted him, then he'll tell me more. And tell me more. Until finally I will stop going. Because of fear. Praise the Lord. Come and say praise the Lord. You see, in that park, I had an experience I'll share with you. Maybe you'll learn from it. You see, I realized that there's this young man that will come and talk. Man, I took notice of him because of his long. Yeah. Hey, he'll come and pam, 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 pam. Before I go one round, he's gone twice. I didn't like the way he'll pass me. So I was, this boy is making me look so. He'll come and pass me. But I'll take solace in the fact that I pass some people. So those people are passing, when I'm passing them in my mind, I'll be smiling. I said, I'm taking you out. But the boy will come again, you know, long jump, 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 and go, hey. And then one day, a group of girls came to jump. And I think he knew one of them. They stopped and greeted, and he continued. Then the next day, the greeting took longer time. And then the next time, they sat somewhere. And then the next time, I wasn't seeing him again. That's what the devil does to us. He's very subtle. He won't give you all at a time because you will find out. He will give you a bit. See, your heart is not working. Okay. Take it what? Bit. And you accept that, he will add. Maybe it's sick. Maybe you be careful now. You might have a heart attack here. Say, yeah, I might have. Actually, you're about to. This is very soft, but extremely diabolical spirit. If you don't know that, you don't know what to do. He's very, very cunning, extremely suggestive. And you would think it's you thinking. You would think you are the one. Actually, one time, I had some pain here. I said, you're going to have a heart attack. I said, Satan, you are the one that has what? Heart attack. This covenant cannot be broken. It's a covenant of healing. It's based on blood. Jesus is sealed with the blood of God. That this heart will never have. But the Bible says, when I see that blood, you don't know when they disappear. And what you must learn is that once you trust God, take your eyes off that thing. You must learn to do this. I'm begging you. They will try to bring that your way to notice it. They did it to Abraham. Abraham refused to look. You must refuse. Because as long as your mind is there, we're talking about it, you will never be able to have faith. You must train yourself to take your eyes off it. Switch it off your mind, because out of sight, out of mind, nothing will happen except what God says. If you go to the hospital, pray for the doctor, stay there and believe that God is using them to heal. Don't trust the doctor, don't trust the medicine. Just stay there and know that God, see this man, he's a human being. I put him into your word, and give him knowledge, show him what to do. And then my faith is based on you. Come, no matter what they tell you, don't change that your faith. God is still healing me. And it shall be to you. Praise the Lord. And I will advise us Christians. Now, this advice, this is not sermon. But don't go and put me up. If I'm going to look for a doctor, I'll prefer a Christian doctor. Why? He has prayed. He's led by the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know whether the other one is a cult member. I would prefer somebody I know that is led by what? The Holy Spirit. Who has woken up that morning and said, Lord, this practice I committed to your hand. Help me to think. Yeah, that's the kind of person I want to see. I'm telling you, it's my life. I'm not joking with it. I'm not just giving to anybody. No. I want somebody that is led of the Holy Spirit. So that if he has prayed, I too pray. Is it not better for me? Come on, church. This is not someone new. I'm just giving you advice. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. But do you understand what I'm saying? It's simple common sense. Simple common sense. Find a brother that's led by the Spirit of God, a sister that's led by the Spirit of God. God is talking to him. God is talking to you. She's there for you. Suppose you come to somebody who is a cortex of it, covenanted to Satan. It's like a man who divorced the wife and went to the wife to do his teeth, and the wife pulled away all his teeth. Divorced the wife, followed another woman, and went back to the wife to do his teeth, and the woman sedated him, took plier, pulled out of it. Praise the Lord. This last one is not part of the sermon. Please don't, if you quote me, I will deny you. We're just talking like brothers and sisters. You know, use common sense in the things you do. It's not only this thing. I mean, I prefer to deal with Christians. In my life, I mean, that's just me. I prefer to deal with Christians. I prefer. Because they're prayed in the morning. They've come out trusting God to guide them. So can the same spirit is what? Walking in us. Can't get along, is it? Let's bow.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org. where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.